Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
I'm not the smartest guy. I'm not. I told you I missed Mensa. I missed it by one point. I'm the dumbest guy that would be in Mensa if I were in Mensa. Or I'm the smartest person not in Mensa. But here's what I am good about. When I don't know something, I go get the person who does. The host of Hoopin' with Hoops and MLB Overtime Betting is going to join us next. Also, occasionally in the New York Post, Greg Peterson joining us live via satellite. Greg, where are you today?
I am out here in lovely Las Vegas, Nevada, getting ready to head over to the new Circuit Sportsbook, where we're going to be doing some shows tonight for the Vegas Asset Information Network for March Madness. And you know what? It's nice and beautiful out here. We've got an NCAA tournament for the first time in 2 years. It's a great day, my friend.
Yeah, I was just in Vegas. It's starting to pick up there, isn't it?
Absolutely. I went to the parking lot yesterday over by the South Point Casino. It's the most full I've seen it in about a year. It's really good to see that things are picking back up.
All right, let's talk about the bracket, Greg, because you see the bracket. Where did your eyes go when the bracket came out? Are you looking for, you know, opportunities when you fill out a bracket, or do you wait for the spreads, and how soon do you start handicapping?
I sort of take a look at everything at once. I take a look at some of those matchups where it's like, man, this seems like a situation in which we've got maybe a 12 over a 5, a 13 over a 4, or in my case, I've actually got a 15 over a 2 in my bracket. I take a look at that. I wind up filling it out right away, and at the same time, I've sort of got my eyes on the spread as well, because now out here in Las Vegas, you've got so many mobile apps, so you're able to be able to focus on both at the same time. So you're able to see in real time the bracket getting announced, all of those spreads getting posted up. So you're looking for money-making opportunities, both in your bracket, along with being able to just bet these games individually. You take a look after the bracket wise are coming out as well, because obviously you're able to fill out your Final Four, pick your national championship, and then typically a couple hours later, they've got a whole bunch of awesome props, like odds to make the Final Four, odds to make the Elite Eight. It really has become expanded over the last couple years. So it's sort of a little bit of both when the bracket comes out.
All right, you have to be in love with Oral Roberts. That's a 15 seed playing Ohio State. Am I right?
Yes, sir. I wound up taking Oral Roberts in my bracket. I have yet to go full money line with regards to my bets in regards to Oral Roberts, but as we know, sometimes in these bracket challenges, you have to put your money where your mouth is. You have to really go out there and take a little bit of a risk, and I like this Oral Roberts team. They've got a guy by the name of Max Asemus. He is averaging nearly 25 points per game. He spearheads an Oral Roberts team that shoots as a collective 39% from three and leads all of college basketball free throw shooting percentage. And if they shoot well enough from the free throw line in this game, they might actually achieve an NCAA record for best team free throw shooting percentage. But that proficient at the line, they're going up against an Ohio State team that there's some question marks as to whether or not Kyle Young is going to play in this game or not. And with Oral Roberts as well, they have been battle tested playing against Oklahoma State, Wichita State, and Arkansas, covering the spread in every one of those games.
Greg Peterson with us. Greg, I know you're a genius. You're out there in the wind, dealing with the wind. We're getting a little wind on your phone, so do what you can. But let's ask, you mentioned 12 fives. Do you like the 12 seeds? Oregon State's a 12 seed. Give the Beaver fans some hope.
I do think that Oregon State is going to be able to hang in this game. When it comes to an against the spread standpoint, I did wind up having Oregon State covering this game. I am not able to get on them winning this game outright. I think that Tennessee's defense is going to be a little bit too stout. But keep in mind, with this Tennessee team, they might be without John Fulkerson in this game. He wound up taking an elbow when they wound up going up against Florida in that SEC tournament game with Tennessee as well. This is a team that they've been a little bit inconsistent this year. You've got a guy in Victor Bailey Jr. that I'm sure many Oregon fans and faithful know a lot about. He wound up beginning his career as a Duck. He's been one of the top scorers for the team, but he's been a little bit of a hit-or-miss guy. And I really like the way that Oregon State is now getting contributions out of their bench as well. That was really the limiter for the team because you know what Jared Lucas is going to give you. You know what Ethan Thompson is going to give you. Now that you've got those guys that are coming in, giving you a little bit of this, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a guy like a Zach Reachway being able to give you a little bit of production, I think that that's going to keep Oregon State in this game.
The one seeds, you got Gonzaga, Baylor, obviously Illinois and Michigan. Is there one seed that you think is more vulnerable than the others?
I think it's Baylor because of the matchups that they wound up getting. In the second round, they could potentially face off against North Carolina. The big bugaboo with Baylor is that they're not necessarily the most stout team down low of North Carolina. You've got three different guys that average nearly 7 rebounds per game. Garrison Brooks, Armando Bacot, along with Dayron Sharp, Walker Kessler, a 5-star freshman. He's been able to step up down low as well. So you've got so much size that you need to deal with. Baylor is a team that they shoot very well from the 3-point line, but in unfamiliar surroundings, typically the first thing that is going to go is the 3-point shooting. So I do think that that is something that could limit Baylor a little bit. And if they get by that game, I think that they lose to Purdue. The Boilermakers have 7'4" Zach Edey. He does such a good job of being able to disrupt shots. And then when you take a look at what you're able to get out of Travion Williams down low as well, that's another guy that is able to be a disruptor in the post with nearly 15 points, 10 rebounds per game. Purdue has been able to get something out of Zach Ivey as well as the freshman, double figures in each other team's last 5 games. And I just frankly haven't liked what I've seen out of Baylor recently as they have not been the same team ever since their COVID shutdown.
Greg Peterson with us, host of Hoopin' with Hoops. MLB Overtime Betting joining us from windy Las Vegas. Peterson, let me ask you here, Gonzaga, everybody's looking at them. Is it a foregone conclusion that they're in the Final Four? Are they in your bracket in the title game? Are they winning it all?
I have them in the title game, but I have them losing to Illinois. I do think that Illinois has the most unstoppable force right now in college basketball and Kofi Coburn. I absolutely love the game of Coburn, but when you take a look at Gonzaga, they did get a very favorable draw because they're in the same bracket along with Virginia and Kansas, the two teams that are currently dealing with COVID-19, the two teams that had to travel last to be able to get to Indiana. And for that matter, Virginia has yet to make it to Indiana. They're going to be traveling about 24 hours from game time against Ohio. So they got a favorable draw there. And even if everything breaks the way that you expect it to with regards to that bracket, the team that they are going to be facing off against in the Elite Eight, an Iowa bunch that they not just beat, but they wound up beating after coming off of a little bit of a COVID-19 shutdown of their own and still looked impressive in that game. So I do think that Gonzaga making the Final Four seems like it should happen. I would be very surprised if it does not, but I ultimately do not have them winning the title. I think that that goes to Illinois.
Give me an idea. Give me a sleeper team that you could see in the Elite Eight or maybe even the Final Four that your friends look sideways at you, Greg, when you say it.
Oregon. I do think that the Ducks have the chops to be able to make an Elite Eight run. I think that the board broke down very well for them. I am not very high on Iowa. I do recognize that the Hawkeyes are playing a little bit better on defense, but heck, even with Iowa, I think that they could get pushed by Grand Canyon. Grand Canyon has a gentleman by the name of Ashford Mishgard. He wanted to transfer in from Wichita State. 7-footer who's able to give the team nearly a double-double, leads all of college basketball among qualifying players in field goal shooting percentage at 72-73% with Grand Canyon as well. This is a team that they've got someone by the name of Alessandro Lever who gives you 11.5 points per game. He's staying 6'10", shoots over 40% from three. That's going to be a little bit of a test for Iowa. And then with Oregon, this is a team that they're coming together at just the right time. You can tell that Will Richardson was inserted back into the lineup because he had missed much of the season up until January. that the team was trying to acclimate them. The offense had taken a little bit of a setback, but now they seem to be firing all cylinders. And what really stands out to me with Oregon as well is that it feels like their outside shooting has been a little bit better on the road than it has been at home. And that's something that I think is significant because LJ Figueroa, you can tell that when he was in Eugene for those first couple of games, he wasn't necessarily himself. At the end of the year, he was burying shots, especially on the road. I think that that's going to really play a big role. And I think a lot of people are sleeping on the fact that, as we know, Oregon was dealing with a bunch of injuries with guys like Chris Duarte and company, not necessarily at 100% for much of the year. Now they're 100%. And Dana Oatman is a coach that I don't want to bet against in March because we've seen it from him time and time again.
Greg Peterson with us, host of Hoopin' with Hoops. He's in Las Vegas. Zach, you have a question for Greg. Go ahead, Zach.
Yeah, Greg, I got two quick questions for you. Number one,
right.
I got my eye on the Ohio Bobcats and Jason Preston. I want you to tell me what you know about him, and does Ohio have a chance here to get to the Sweet 16 and maybe face off with Gonzaga? I have them in my Sweet 16.
I did wind up taking the points on the spread with Ohio. Currently, I have Virginia in my bracket, but if we wind up seeing unfavorable reports for Virginia, that is a little bit subject to change. And to your point with Jason Preston, this guy is absolutely incredible. He burst onto the scene in November when they wound up playing against Illinois, and by so many accounts, he wound up outplaying Ayo Dosunmu in that game, a guy that's able to give you 17.5 points, 7 rebounds, 7.5 assists, shoots nearly 40% from three-point range. But what really makes that team whole is someone that I know a little bit because I actually used to do some high school broadcasts out in the city of Ripon, Wisconsin. One of the greatest players ever come out of that city, his name is Ben Vanderplas. He is on this Ohio team. He stands 6'8", shoots in the mid-30s from three-point range, 13 points per game. That allows Preston to be able to operate the way that he does. And with Ohio, if they're able to get by Virginia, I think that they're going to wind up playing against UC Santa Barbara in that round of 32 game. I think that they match up very well against a UC Santa Barbara team that they themselves, I feel like, could wreck the apple cart a little bit. I'm just not crazy about Creighton as well, so I didn't wind up getting there with regards to being able to advance Ohio in my bracket, but if we see some unfavorable reports for Virginia, that is very much subject to change, and at minimum, Ohio is going to be a very, very pesky out for the Cavaliers.
Very interesting. Lastly, Greg, which of these first four teams do you think has the best chance to make a run in the tournament? You know, UCLA, Michigan State, any of those teams?
I think that it's Michigan State. You just don't want to be going up against Tom Izzo or March. Joshua Langford is someone that has dealt with injuries the last couple of years. It seems like he's as whole as he's been in the past. And with Michigan State, the big key for this team is not turning the ball over. In their first four games today against UCLA, UCLA is a team that only generates about 5 steals per game. I think that this is a very favorable matchup for Michigan State, and if they advance in this one, they're going up against a BYU team that I felt like was a little bit overseeded as a 6. Alex Barcelo does a great job of being able to knock down his outside shots, but Matt Harms, I was expecting a little bit more from him down low. Guy is 7'3", gives the team like 5 rebounds per game. Caleb Lawner has been able to develop a little bit more of an outside shot, but with this Michigan State team, they do a very good job of just being able to get to the free throw line as well. They hit about 73% of them as a collective. And with BYU, I just question whether or not they're going to be able to shut down those wings that Michigan State has. So I think the best team to be able to advance of everyone that's playing today is the Spartans.
Greg Peterson joining us from Las Vegas. Greg, I'm asking one more question. Former President Barack Obama has USC in the Elite Eight. I do not have USC in the Elite Eight. Which one of us is going to be right?
I don't think either of you guys, because I have USC versus Oregon in the Sweet 16, and I've got Oregon advancing to the Elite Eight. So I've got, I guess you could call it a little bit of something in the middle, because I do think that if you wind up getting that Sweet 16 matchup between USC and Oregon, we remember Oregon was down 17-0 at the jump when they wound up going to L.A. in that matchup a little bit over a month ago. I think that revenge is a dish that's going to be best served in the Sweet 16. I do think that Oregon is going to be able to do a little bit of a better job down low. I think that Eugene Amorui is actually going to match up very well with the likes of the Mobley brothers down low. So I've got USC versus Oregon in the Sweet 16 and Oregon advancing in that game.
Greg, We love you, man. We love to get you back on anytime. I appreciate you, and it's great to hear your voice again. For people who don't know, Greg has worked at the station, the affiliate in Portland. He did for a while and then went on to Vegas and has gone on to bigger and better things. Glad to hear you're doing so well, man.
John, it is great to be on with you guys. I remember my time out there in Portland very well. Jogging to and from work every day is actually a very fond memory. Just so many good people out there in the city, so many great people at the station. Appreciate you reaching out and having me today.
All right, Greg Peterson from Vegas. There he is. He hosts a podcast, Hooping with Hoops, MLB Overtime Betting. He's a real good follow on social media as well. If you want to follow him, he's at GUnit_81 from Las Vegas. He's got a lot. Peter Sampson, were you around when Greg was around?
No, I just missed him, but I'll tell you, that guy's a computer.
He is. Zach texted me during the show, and Zach said he's got a lot on his mind.
He's unbelievable. I love that. He's like par robot, man.
Do you know what they called him when he was on air?
No, no.
This was not my doing. He was Greg the Virgin.
Oh, no.
That's what they called him. He's gone on to bigger and better things.
Absolutely.
I hope so.
Yeah, look at him, man, and he's doing a show from the Strip, and good for him. Greg Peterson. Follow him on Twitter, at GUnit_81. Leave it here. Every day on the show, we do the Culligan Water Cooler Report. It's brought to you by Culligan of Oregon. Today is no different.
Welcome to the Culligan Water Cooler Report. If we're talking about it, they'll be talking about it. Brought to you by Culligan Water Company.
This is the time of year every year where we see those news stories. You know the ones I'm talking about. March Madness is here. It's the opening weekend of the NCAA tournament. What medical procedure is more popular with men this weekend versus any other weekend of the year? Peter Sampson, go.
I know this. It's a vasectomy, John Canzano.
It is. Guys tend to get snipped this weekend. And I'm kind of wondering, like, I don't have like a line on the medical facilities that are doing these procedures today and tomorrow, but I'm kind of wondering if they're seeing that normal spike that they're seeing otherwise. Zach, Peter, either one of you guys getting a vasectomy today?
No, not today.
Yeah, absolutely not, John. No.
Well, if you are getting a vasectomy today or tomorrow, I do want to hear from you at 503-417-7575. I feel like I should have had a medical expert on standby today and be like, yes, John, this is a normal year and we're seeing a spike in. But it's interesting. And the reason why, for people who don't know, is post-procedure. post-procedure, generally, the doctors advise the guys to sit around, ice down a little bit, stay comfortable, get off your feet. I can tell you a story anecdotally. My brother called me several years ago. He had the procedure done. He's got three kids. And he said to me after the procedure, he was feeling pretty good. Like, their doctors were telling him, you need to stay laying down. You shouldn't be up and about. You know, it's good. And his wife said, I'm going to go to Costco. Do you want to go? And he said, you know, I am kind of sick of being on the couch. This was just like a day into the procedure. And he got up and he said he got walked towards the car. He got to the car door and he turned around and walked back into the house and sat back down. And he said he just sat and watched sports all day. And he said, don't do that to yourself. So if you're out there, don't overdo it. If this is your weekend, just settle in and watch basketball. Know that this is no time to be a hero. But it's funny how that works for sports and guys. And I kind of wonder, like, do those clinics that offer the procedure, do they Do they offer a March Madness special? Have you guys ever seen anything like that?
Yeah, so I just talked about this. I might have been the Saturday show, but there's in Virginia, there's a group of urologists that are getting sued by the NCAA for tying in with March Madness. And
what?
And Steve down in Eugene said that they have a wonderful sponsor down there, that this is the busiest time of the year, and they're talking about a special.
I just found a story from the Washington Post.
There you
they
go.
Say it's called the other March Madness. The rush for vasectomies during this weekend, and vasectomy mayhem was the name of the thing. The New York Times has a story. NCAA's filed a complaint against the urology practice in Virginia that is trying to I guess it's a trademark infringement. They want you to pay for the licensing, ladies and gentlemen. Carrie is in Eugene, listening on Fox Sports Eugene. Carrie, what's up?
So I'm old enough that I had this done. My kid's 38, but I had it done right before the, he's my only son, my only kid. Had it done right before the 1983 World Series, and worked out good. It's like one night on the couch. And I thought, man, I just want to stay on the couch for the rest of the series, but I didn't. So
there you go.
It's a good plan.
Good series. Everything came out okay. And, you know, Greg invested, or Carrie invested, a bag of peas in the endeavor, but he ended up okay in the end.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.